Hello, this is NY Bill, and today I thought I'd talk to everyone about a quick little hardware hack I did recently. I was on Adafruit to get some Tuck stickers, and every time I tend to go on that or SparkFun or one of these websites that has all kinds of Arduinos and gizmos and gadgets and components, I end up filling up my cart with impulse buys. So this time I ended up with a notebook. I got the 20 stickers, 20 Tuck stickers, because I go through these. I give them out at the lug, any new guys that come along, or if I'm at a conference or 2600 meetings, whenever I meet new people that are into Linux, it's just a little, hey, do you want a sticker? And it helps start a conversation, I guess that's what I'm looking for. Anyways, I ordered 20 of the Tuck stickers, and then I start poking around, and as I always do, oh, that looks neat, that looks neat. And I ended up buying a pocket oscilloscope. It's a little $99 pocket oscilloscope with a color screen, like a 2.5-inch color screen. It's like 2/3 the size of an average smartphone. And I just thought it would be neat to throw in the hacker bag over there and just another thing to fool around with at 2600 meetings or whenever we're getting into tearing something apart. So I got it home. It looks cool. I'm not really sure if the sampling rate is not too high. I mean, like a square wave might have some rounded edges and things. This wouldn't replace like a bench oscilloscope or be anything a professional would use, but for like an Arduino tinkering or RPi stuff or just stuff like I'm going to talk about in a minute, it seems fine, like a hobbyist little oscilloscope. It comes with a signal generator and you can hook the probes up and just fool around with that. You can start seeing a square wave and increasing, decreasing, and just it's a way to, that's how I got familiar with the menus. It's all menu driven, button driven, which takes a little getting used to. One thing I'll say that is it finally clicked to me, which made a lot of help, is it reminded me of Nikon DSLRs, where you know what setting you want to change, but you're not sure where it is in the menu structure. And then I realized you look at the setting you want to change, and in the menu that setting is going to be changed in, they're both the same color. So like there's a green setting, that'll be green menus, yellow setting, that'll be in the yellow menus. That gave me a little click moment, and I got easier going through the oscilloscope and checking out the functions of it. So after playing with its internal signal generator, I started thinking, well, I want to go hook this up to some other things. So the first thing that came to mind is go get the RPi or go get the Teensy, which is a little tiny Arduino compatible board. So I have a couple of those, and then I thought back to old school. I thought about all the stuff that's in this like Tupperware container in the bottom of this bag where I carry all my tools and components. And I have some old integrated circuits in there, some old chips. And I thought, I bet I still have an old 555 timer chip. So I dug through, and yes, I did. So the 555 is a timer chip that you can make a steady signal out of by changing the values of a capacitor and a resistor on two of the pins. So I thought, let me go old school with this, and I'll get the breadboard, and I'll get some jumper wires, and let's make our own little signal generator. It was just for something to do. I don't think you could use this to like calibrate this oscilloscope, but I suppose once you had a signal generator set up, and if you knew someone else with a calibrated scope, you could look at what their signal is and see if it compares to yours, and you can do like a reference calibration off of there. So anyways, it was just, why not just pull the breadboard out and just have a little fun with this thing? So I'll have a little schematic in the show notes, or at least a link to the schematic of the 555 timer. There's really nothing to it. They're simple and easy to use, but it's fun if it's a beginner's hack. Or timer chips always come in handy for something, so why not refamiliarize myself with it, and let's throw this thing together. I'll also take some pictures along the way, and I'll put those up in a Media Goblin set, and I'll have a link in the show notes to those as well if anybody wants to see this little oscilloscope in action, or just take a look at how things get breadboarded up. So here I dug everything out. Maybe I'll just take a picture here. This is the 555 timer I have. It's from Radio Shack. who knows when. I have no idea when I bought this. It doesn't have a price on it, but I bet if you find one around, it's $1 or two. It is a 8-pin dip, so dual inline package. Jeez, I haven't said that in a long time. So you just pop it into the breadboard and wire it up. Right on the back of the package is the schematic. Suppose I could go through that. So on an IC, they usually have a dot or a little notch on one end of the chip, and that will reference where your one pin is. So your one pin would be next to the dot to the left. So upper left is pin one, and then it goes down the IC. In this case, 1, 2, 3, 4 on the left. Then you jump straight across, bottom right would be 5, and then 6, 7, 8 going up. So on a 5-5-5, number one is ground. Number two is the trigger. Number three is output. Number four is reset. I don't think I've ever used that. Maybe I never had one lock up. Okay, let's see. Number five is control voltage. Number six is threshold. Number seven is discharge. And number eight is positive volts in. So these are where your power is going to go in. You're going to use a resistor and a capacitor on the right side to set up the timing circuit, so high, low. And the resistor and the capacitor are going to be pulling the output high and low. So that's what you would read on the oscilloscope. Zero voltage, then you go high, and then you go low again. And that time period in between high and low will give you a nice square wave, or I hope it should anyways. Oh, by the way, I mentioned the teensy. You'll probably see that in the pictures. It's always on the breadboard because I don't want to bend the pin. So it's up at the top of the breadboard, but I'll work down lower. And the oscilloscope's right above it. And another little tiny thing I carry around in the bag is a little multimeter. This thing was like $20 at a hardware store. And I wouldn't use it professionally, but I have a Fluke for that if I have to, test something too. That I'm going to risk my life touching, but for hobby stuff, carrying around in the bag something nice and small, a little $20 digital multimeter, it does the trick. Okay, I'll pop this in the board and I'll wire it up. I'm back. You didn't even know I was gone, did you? So it turned out that I didn't have any 0.1, 0.01, 0.001 electrolytic capacitors. I only have strange numbers like 220 microfarad or 470. So I had to grab one out. There's a Radio Shack near here. So I did get the proper capacitor and I had the resistors and well, here it is. Here's the circuit running and blinking. On the output, I put an LED on it just so I could, physically see something blinking. And then I hooked up the oscilloscope and I got a nice wave. It's a square wave. Looks like it's about just under 2 volts with that resistor I chose. I could have went a little higher, but I just kind of grabbed one, anyone that was in the 333 range. I also mentioned earlier that I don't ever remember using a reset, but I must have because it turns out you have to pull that pin high to keep the 555 running, and a reset is actually to go low. So it just needed a jumper between 8, which was a voltage in, and pin number 4. So that's a 5-5 timer. You could do some other things with it. There's two resistors that it takes two resistors and a capacitor to choose the timing. So the capacitor stays the same, but the resistors you can change. Make the thing blink faster, make it blink slower. The power is coming in through the resistors, charging the capacitor up, and then when it gets to a point, it's draining. So that would be a wave as well, but it would be very messy. It would kind of be like a sawtooth, but the climb and the fall of the voltage would be curved. So that wouldn't be a very good straight timed pulse. But the 555 is watching that and it's keying on threshold. So it gets to a certain voltage and it pulls the output pin up high and then gets to another certain voltage and it lets the output pin go low. So you get a very consistent square wave and duty cycle. I suppose if to go further with this, you could change resistor 2 out with a potentiometer. Well, you might have to parallel a potentiometer and a smaller resistor to get around that resistance, but then you could have a variable speed on it, and you can make it blink faster, blink slower. I imagine if you hooked the output up to like a little piezo, you get a click, and you could kind of make a metronome, or you could have the output pulling a relay in at whatever speed you need for another project. So there's a 555 is a neat little, it's almost like a starter chip. You can get into it and you can start, you'll think of more things to do. It would be good for, for about $5 in parts. You could have, a kid hook this up and see if they get interested in electronics as well. So when I realized I was missing the capacitor and I'm driving to the place to buy it, I started thinking how many people listening to HPR would have like a whole box of old miscellaneous things. I'm sure some of you do, but I bet most of you are Arduinos or Raspberry Pis or BeagleBone Blacks these days. So I thought, why not, as long as the Teensy's there, which is Arduino compatible, why not also get that to show a signal as well, and I'll get the oscilloscope up and hooked up to that, and then in the show notes I could have the little script that I'm showing pulling the pin high and the timing. So if you have one of those, you can also you could give that a try. Before I went up to the Teensy, I just thought I'd move the probe on the oscilloscope to the other side of the resistor that's lowering the voltage for the LED. And that gets a nice square wave as well. I had to just increase the oscilloscope up to the 10 volt range, and you'll see in the picture it's showing about 9 volts. It's, each square would be 10 volts, and it's bouncing up and down within one square, about 9/10 of the square. So far this oscilloscope is, I thought the sample rate would not show a very good square wave, but so far it's good. I don't know how it's going to work on a, this is a pretty slow signal. I don't know how it's going to work on a very like high hertz, very high hertz signal, but I guess when I come across that or use this for a while, I'll get a feel for it. Maybe I can update the show notes, or maybe I could do an HPR on this pocket unit a little more in depth. But okay, let me hook up the Teensy. So there's the oscilloscope hooked up to the Teensy. Looks like the Teensy is putting out, let's see, one, two, three, four, about 4.5 volts. It's a nice square wave here as well. I suppose I could try and speed it up some more and see how the oscilloscope deals it with that. I suppose I should talk a bit about how an oscilloscope, or what an oscilloscope does, in case anybody doesn't know. But I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with multimeters. You can, test the battery, it'll tell you 9 volts DC positive. You can test something and get, 4 volts negative DC. It tells you what your power is. On AC, you're kind of getting an average of the sine wave. So you'll say 120 volts coming out of the wall here. Or, if you're down into smaller stuff, 4 volts peak to peak. But you don't know how many hertz that AC voltage is at. And on the DC with a meter, if, like in this situation where a signal is being generated, 0 to 5 volts and back and forth and back and forth, the meter will just keep bouncing and like taking little snapshots here and there, and you get all kinds of numbers. There's really not a way to see the duty cycle that's happening. So with an oscilloscope, you hook that up to what you want to test, and you have a bunch of settings. Now on an oscilloscope, there's a grid. Let me see what the Teensy has here. One, two, three. Looks like it's a 12 by 8 grid. On the y-axis, you control the intensity or the voltage. You can make each square 1 volt in height. You can make it 2 volts in height. You can make it milliamps in height. On the x-axis, you're looking at time. So you can take a 1 second snapshot. You can take millisecond snapshot. So with that DC signal we were seeing earlier coming out of the 555, I think I had my voltage set to, it was a 9 volt battery, so I had y-axis volts set to 5 volts. So that means each square going up and down is 5 volts, and the center line was 0 volts. So that was going from zero, that signal that we saw or in the picture is going from 0 volts, and it was going up near 9 volts in the positive plus DC. You can also hook a scope up to AC current, and you'll see the sine wave, the sinusoidal wave. So an AC signal would start off in the positive and go up so many squares and then start coming back down, go through 0 volts, then go into the negative, go the same amount of squares down and over. So by knowing what your voltage is on the y-axis, you can add that up. So let's say it's 1 volt per square and the AC signal goes up for 3 squares, that's plus 3 volts. Then it's gonna go down for 3 squares, that's minus 3 volts. So 3 volts peak to peak. And then using the x-axis, you set how much time is going with each square. So by getting a calculator and knowing what your x-axis is, you can add up if that sine wave went up and over for 6 squares and then down and over for 6 squares, you can multiply the time by 12 and you can get your hertz. So you're not only looking at what the voltage is, you're looking at what the cycle is up and down, and you're getting a reading of how many hertz, how fast everything's happening. I suppose maybe I could try and find something with an AC signal and show that as well in the video, but yeah, let me see if I can go find something. Okay, there is a sine wave, an AC sine wave coming out. I got a like a wall wart transformer. It takes, in US we have 120 volts coming out of the wall at 60 hertz. The transformer says it's going to give me 9 volts AC on the outside. And if you look at the meter in the picture, I know I just said video earlier, but this is going to be an interesting edit because I've done little like 5 or 6 minute segments over the course of 3 or 4 days as I build things and as I play with this meter. So I hope by the end of this, I can edit it into something somewhat coherent. I don't repeat myself too often. But anyways, in the final picture, you'll see the meter showing 14.06 volts AC, which is a little high for the 9 volts that's they say that transformer is putting out. On the oscilloscope, I have each square in the y-axis set to 10 volts, and the sine wave is going from 0 to about, it's showing almost 18 volts. So this might be a little bit out of whack here. Well, maybe not. It definitely seems like it's more than 14 volts on the oscilloscope. However, it does show the frequency is 5961 hertz bouncing around in there. In any case, the point of an oscilloscope is to, it's almost like taking a snapshot in time, looking at the voltage as it's happening. So you can zero right down in on one duty cycle. I suppose I could turn this up and show, I can show it. There you can see I zoomed back on the x-axis. So you can see a lot more of the waves going by. It's still 61.1 hertz, but with the oscilloscope, you want to capture a signal and then zoom in close like I had it before. So you can see basically one duty cycle of the wave and you can make analysis from there. But cool, I got a good play around with this DSO Nano. I gave this thing a good little kick in the tires here. It's pretty neat. DSO Nano V3 for $99. I like it. It's fun. It's a cool addition to the bag I call the Mobile Hack Space. So this has been NY Bill. I am nybill@gunmonkeynet.net if anyone wants to email. I'm on StatusNet. I'm in IRC, a couple channels. You'll find me in there. And the comments. We were just talking at Northeast Linux Fest about the comments on HPR. I have to remember to check them. So yes, I'll try and be more regular with that. And I hear talk that a forum or something might be on the way. I don't mind forums. Okay, I'm jumping in one last time at the very end of all the recordings. When I pulled that Walmart AC adapter out, it says, it's right here now, 120 volts, 60 hertz, 7 watts, output 12 volts AC. So I got it wrong. I thought it was 9 volts AC. I'm not sure why, but so that wave that was going a bit high, it was showing 14 volts on the meter and just a slightly higher on the scope. That was a little more reasonable than what I thought from going 9 to 14 and higher. So this old transformer is just putting out a bit too much. Okay, this is NY Bill signing off. We can cue the music. I'm not going to sing Jezra. Not going to sing Ken. Till next time, everyone.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.